Listen up and take notes, ladies. Cosmo's Summer Sex. Cosmo's Summer Sex School is now in session on Wake Up With Taylor.
And it'll probably help us out in our future sex lives.
Hey, girl. Hey, welcome back. It's Wake Up With Taylor on Cosmo Radio, Sirius XM 109. I'm Taylor. That's Kenny Hamis DeMay.
Hi, Taylor.
And you guys, right now, we are in it in Cosmo Summer Sex School with Dr. Megan Fleming. You guys, you got to check out her website, greatlifegreatsex.com. And Megan, Dr. Megan Fleming, that title of your website says so much about the importance of sex. In
Absolutely.
A relationship or in your life, period.
To feel alive and to thrive and really to, I mean, we get one life. I want to live mine to the fullest and
yeah.
I want to help everyone else do the same thing.
I just want to be the happiest damn person I can be. That's and be satisfied in my life. And I know that sex is a big part of that. But, you know, we've been talking about, I guess, my reservations when it comes to allowing myself to be a sexual being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting because I have a lot of friends that I went to college with. And, you know, they used to be like, you're messed up with sex, you know. But guess, I think maybe they're a little messed up with sex, too. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe I'm a little on the prude side, but they might be a little on the... What's the word we use nowadays? Free side.
All sex is messed up.
Well, I kind of get to that place. Like, I'm like, I acknowledge that maybe I'm a little bit messed up, but I think...
No, it doesn't serve. Like, what is it about messed up or all this judgment? Like, this is the way
right.
we turn... Like,
right.
It, you know, it's embracing what is and what it isn't yet. It's like making room for what's possible
right.
and what you want to experience.
I just want sex to be pleasurable, and I feel like there is a little bit of a conflict, though, you know?
Okay.
And I do believe that there is good sex, and I do think there is bad sex. I do. Like, I remember I had this roommate in college, and she was like, I just love like one night stands are really empowering. You should try it. And I was like, I don't think that sounds like my cup of tea. I think I'm gonna feel really guilty and bad about myself. Anyway, so.
Oh, wait, I want to say, I'm glad you said that because it's about know thyself, right? We're all different based on,
right.
as we said, our own experiences, how we grew up, who our parents were, and the experiences we had and didn't have.
My parents were virgins when they got married.
I think we're all our own inner expert, right? So
yes.
Don't be following people's advice or when you hear it, check in with your gut. Does that feel true for me?
But I remember.
Because you've got to go with yourself.
Right.
And what you know is true for you and explore from that place, right?
It's
and
true.
Not what anybody else says is true for them.
And that, but that's a confusing part of learning your sexuality, I think, in your late teens, early 20s, because I felt like everybody was judging my sexuality or whatever, lack thereof. And it was like, oh, well, you're not a feminist if you don't have a one-night stand. Like, this is about sexual liberation. And I was like, but isn't, like, the feminist movement about a choice and, like, being free to have whatever choice? So if my choice is more traditional...
Right. I'm all with you. And again, they're just putting on pressure, right?
Right.
And saying, oh, it worked for me. This is what's going to work for you. And let's say
like if you
one
don't
size
do this,
doesn't fit all, right?
Right. If you don't do this, you're backwards or like you're, you know, you're archaic or whatever. So I remember this friend of mine, she slept with, you know, a guy. And the next day I walked into her bedroom. He's long gone. She's in a ball in a dark room crying. And I was like, that looks empowering. Looks awesome to me. So, you know, I kind of, and maybe I do find myself being a little bit judgmental of people who are more promiscuous than me because I felt judged by those who were more promiscuous than me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, again, somebody who enjoys sex and feels good about it and doesn't expect or anticipate the guy's going to call her back or that this is going to lead to a relationship, that's very different than the woman who thinks, oh, this is a way of, you know, trying to get him to like you. Because that's, as you said with that example, a very dangerous
right.
for your own self-esteem because... The only reason you should be having sex is if it's something that you want and it feels good and it's consensual.
And comfortable.
And comfortable. Because if you're not comfortable, you are never going to know what is possible for you. And
it's
so,
true.
I think sometimes when we're stretching to do new things, of course, things are always a little bit uncomfortable and we like to avoid things that aren't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But think of it, I call it a growth stretch, right? It's a little bit uncomfortable, but it's in the direction of what you want. And you've checked in with yourself to realize this feels like the right next step for me.
Right, right.
And to not flood yourself by trying, you know, again, role play may be too much, right?
Right.
So if I was working one-on-one,
right.
it's to say, okay, what's the just right? Think about Goldilocks and the porridge, too hot, too cold.
Right.
Right, really figuring out for you what is the right next step? That's your stretch.
Right, right. I think the main thing that I need to get, the place I need to get to is... that place of relaxation and calm. That's something that I do struggle with, just like in general in my life. Not, I mean, outside of my sexual being too. So,
which is great, I think, to segue into this idea that there's conditions for good sex.
Right.
If you're exhausted, and if you're like a lot of women, I mean, I'm a mom of two, you know, you're running around and, you know, at the end of the day, you feel like you got nothing left.
Right.
And so is that a great time to be sexual? Absolutely not.
No.
So you have to think about when you're feeling, you know, relaxed, when you feel like, for many women, a sense of connection with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And creating those conditions, not that all the ducks are in a row, but that you appreciate. You need to have certain elements in play if it's going to be a more optimal experience.
So it takes a little bit of planning. It can't just be spontaneous.
Yeah, I love this because people think that sex should be spontaneous, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And if you plan it, it's not going to be fun.
Well, my husband's like, I want to, like, I'm like, you can't plan it. Get armor, get a sword, get on a horse, and find me in the middle of Central Park, and then we'll do it in the bushes.
See, I actually, though, kind of agree somewhat with your husband in that you can't plan, I'm going to feel like X right now, but you can plan, okay, Saturday, this 2-hour window is our time.
Right.
And we'd like to do something fun, connecting, sensual, sexual. And then in that moment, you decide what feels right. But if you don't carve out that 2 hours of time, believe me, you're not going to have it.
Well, yeah, because you're too busy doing the laundry, doing the dishes, or running around buying bridal shower gifts.
And you plan your vacation and don't enjoy it any less. So the thought of planning, again, is the idea of it is what turns us off. So
that's a good point. You plan your vacation and you don't enjoy it any less. You got to plan sex.
Exactly.
So there's nothing unromantic about planning out time for sensuality.
Exactly. Planning the time and then in the moment seeing what feels like feels right to
you. But there's no like, you're not signing any sort of, you know, air contract. It's like, so I'll see you at Saturday at 2. And then you're in the moment and you're like, you know, like we've all had that moment where we're devoting time to us. It's so hard for me to say sex. And then and then like something happens where like you get mad at the other person for some reason. And then it's like, well, this is our sex time. So we have to do it now. And it's like, but I'm mad at you now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's not going to work unless you like makeup sex, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, can we talk about makeup sex?
We can.
What do you think about makeup sex?
I think it depends on, as I said, it's know yourself and know your partner. It works for some people and it certainly doesn't work for others. Because
it really is individual, isn't it?
It really is.
Maybe problem is like so many people are telling you do this, do that, do this, and it doesn't necessarily work for you.
Right.
And so there's this, you're disconnecting with the turn-ons.
Right.
Or
your
the conditions.
Own personal turn-ons, right, exactly.
Right.
And the conditions.
And then you feel like something's broken inside of you, but maybe the advice is broken.
The advice, and just to realize that there's so many things to learn and advice and opportunities, but I think we all have to, even our mind's eye, try on, okay, what feels right to me, and that's my next step.
Right.
And not just globally take on, you know, I don't care what expert's saying, okay, you got to do X, Y, or Z. If that doesn't feel true for you, then that's not the right fit.
Right.
Right.
So it's trial and error kind of.
Absolutely. I could say try again because think about it, anytime we try something new, we don't start as expert. There's that awkward, I almost say adolescent. Nobody likes to feel adolescent.
Right.
But I think when you say bad sex, sometimes when you're trying something new, it is awkward or klutzy.
Yeah, you don't have to like it.
Right.
But you have to appreciate that you're going to just get better at it, right?
Right.
If it feels bad and it's not the last thing,
right?
It's never going to end up looking that way. It's always going to get better.
Like if you're cooking a dinner and the guy, I mean, you're cooking for your husband and he's like, that's too salty, then you add less salt the next time around.
Exactly. So you talk, you communicate what was good about it. What would you like more of? I really liked it when, right? Those are, you know, great strategies for that discussion.
Dr. Megan, do you find that people are very uncomfortable talking about sex?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, as you said, I mean, one of the exercises I would give you is like go around and go sex, 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 sex. Then most people, you know, you're like, I don't even feel comfortable saying the word.
Right. But even like talking about sex, like in general, like on a platform or like with friends, I get maybe that can be uncomfortable. It's a little taboo. But like talking with sex with the person you're having the sex with, that's like the scariest of them all.
Isn't that ironic to say?
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Because it's like you are putting your penis inside of my vagina or wherever. And it's like, but yet I'm too scared to discuss the sex. Like one night, my husband and I had sex. And then the next day he was like, remember last night when you did? And I was like, why don't we talk about it? And he was like, why? Like, we're married. It was wonderful. Like, don't you want to relive that? And I was like, I don't want to look at you right now. But yeah, why not? We did it. Right. Why can't we talk about it?
So, I mean, I would want to know, like, what happened for you in that moment? Like, what made it feel?
I mean, she might have really let herself go and was very vulnerable. No, you know, and you were really in the moment. So, like, you went somewhere you'd never gone. So then, you know, then the bathos hits when you're done, which is our word on
our
the show
for
feeling
that
uncomfortable.
Awkward feeling, yes.
So you're shutting it down.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Super ego is coming in and just like clamping that down. Be like, oh, girlfriend, you're not going there. And so,
right.
You know, it's really an opportunity to realize you can go there. And it's just allowing yourself to be a little bit in that uncomfortable place and not run away from it. People run away from the discomfort all the time.
Right.
Yeah, right. And isn't it, would you agree, Dr. Megan, like the things that we're kind of, and I don't want to say fearful of, but like the things that make us a little anxious could be the things with the biggest payoff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because there's something telling you that, you know, it's like there's the desire, there's the want, and then there's the, there's that feeling that like, that holds you in your throat or in your chest. And if you, it's exposure, right? If you allow yourself the opportunity to sit with something.
Right.
Breathe. Let's focus on allowing yourself to breathe.
Right.
Then ultimately, you're going to find more comfort and, you know, more expression.
Okay. So after, I think I painted a good picture of where I am, Dr. Megan? Yes, a little bit.
You have it. And the other thing, though, we haven't quite gotten to, which is, you know, I imagine being here on the radio and if you're like most women, you're running around ragged, totally exhausted,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And I think we have to appreciate that for many women, we have so many to-dos, and it's true for men also, but we have so many to-dos that our self-care gets on the bottom of the list. Like, I'll get to it when, like, time for yourself, time with girlfriends, time to just rejuvenate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, if you allow that to fall at the bottom of the list, it sets you up, right, to feel resentful or to feel, like, overwhelmed. And so I always say to women, self-care is not selfish. That, you know, often it's our nature and desire to give and to help others and to feel pleasure. So the more time you take for yourself, actually, the more you have to give.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Very good. Do you have any homework that you want to give me?
Fun work.
Sorry.
You're just...
How about we just call it fun? Because work is
there's this clamp on your brain that is just absolutely saying, you know... wants to keep you in the stuck rut place. And so this isn't about you and your husband in some ways. It's starting with yourself. And that's why, again, I'm really encouraging women to check out my free webinar because it's about awakening, embracing the power of your erotic mind.
Okay.
And how do you take off those clamps and those limiting beliefs and those stories so that every woman can have the opportunity to know what's possible.
Okay.
So specifically for you, I would think about, one, I'd give you the homework of saying dirty and sexy words, because even as your eyes get really big.
Sexy.
I guarantee you, if you continue to say
what kind of words you say them.
Which ones would you like?
I don't know, whatever you want me to say, just tell me.
Okay. You could say sex or sexy or...
And
good. I like the little butt, but you have to really allow yourself to, you know, feel those words without that. I mean, initially you might feel nervous or anxious, but I tell you, the more that you say it, the more that it's like it's in your vocabulary.
Like to Brett, my husband, I like your butt, Brett. Sexy. It is sexy. That's sexy little butt.
How does that feel to say?
Felt good.
See? They're connecting with that energy.
Okay.
And then there's one other thing I don't think we covered, which is, you know, for some women, you're newly married.
Yes.
One of the things that can inhibit them or turn them off is if they're not yet ready feeling or wanting to get pregnant.
That is me so much. I am terrified of having a baby, that responsibility, because I'm really selfish right now. And I don't want to have to compete with something growing inside of me. It's about me. It's not about that. So I'm terrified of getting pregnant. I'm more terrified of getting pregnant now than I've actually ever been in my life. And I thought I was pregnant in high school and I was a virgin. I thought I was going to be like the next coming of Mary.
Too.
So, and I was like, my mom will never believe me. God, please don't bestow this upon me. So yes, I've always been scared of pregnancy.
And so when you think about it and talk about it, you can see how constricted that energy is and that part of you that's afraid of letting go and, you know, really doesn't want this thing to happen. And so, you know, I really say to women in that situation, practice double barrier protection.
Okay.
So whether you're using birth control or condom and withdrawal, that they're, you know, an IUD, there are many different ways that you both can, if you practice double barrier, you have that much more security that you're not going to get pregnant.
Okay.
So you can use like a condom and mace or something.
Spermicide. Not mace. Oh, maybe.
That might be bad for, you know.
For everything.
All these exercises.
Yes. How do you see your webinar?
Yes. When is it?
So my webinar is going to be 2 weeks from now, June 21st.
Okay.
7:30 to 9:00. And anybody who's interested can sign up on my website, greatlifegreatsex.com. And it's going to be an opportunity not only to talk in more detail what we're discussing today, mm-hmm. But I'm also going to have a live Q&A. So like you here can get information and asks personal exercise or homework. It gives everybody an opportunity
awesome.
To call in and have an opportunity to get their own sex questions answered.
I love that. I'm going to be watching it 7 p.m.
I did 7:30 to 9:00 so that maybe some of the West Coasters might be able to
fantastic.
Join in.
Access to a real sex therapist. That's great. If you were her sex therapist, would you recommend jail? You put her in prison? Get her off the sex streets?
I don't know. The only thing is if it made her feel bad or naughty.
Then it's yes.
Then
and she had
right.
the key to get herself out. Or yeah. She had a way of helping her husband realize how he could help her get out.
Right. She does have the key. You do have the key.
Everybody that's has what the we're key. Absolutely. We have yeah. the key to unlock our own sexual pleasure right. and to take responsibility and own it. People finger point all the time. Like, if only he or she X, right. Y, or Z. It's like, okay, whatever that is, but right. don't use that as the excuse for disempowering yourself.
Right. I feel like you telling me that, like, me knowing what I like is actually very empowering, because I felt for so long that I just didn't know. People were like, you don't even know. You don't even know.
Oh,
but I
know.
Do know. I know
we
it
do
makes
know.
Me feel safe and comfortable.
Absolutely.
You know, I haven't had a lot of trial and error, if you know what I mean, but I've had like enough trial and error.
And
to,
that's
like, I
the
know.
Place to start.
And I know what feels like shit and what feels good.
Absolutely. So go with what feels good. Listen to that inner voice, right? We have to connect our hearts and our minds.
Right. Like, I feel like I'm okay-ish.
You're fabulous. Sex. We're all fabulous just the way we are.
Yes. Well, Dr. Maggie, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having
thank
me.
You,
I really
enjoyed
the experience.
Oh my gosh. I feel so good. Like, I might want to do sex later tonight.
Awesome.
I said it.
Great.
I might want to do sex, Kenny.
She's saying it. She's also doing her fun work. It's all good.
I'm nervous now. Okay. Thank you so much. You got to love us a little bit.
Thank you.
Listen up and take notes, ladies. Cosmo's Summer Sex. Cosmo's Summer Sex School is now in session on Wake Up With Taylor.
And it'll probably help us out in our future sex lives.